Blog Talk Radio.
All right, my brothers and sisters, welcome in one more time right here to Culture Freedom Radio Network. Welcome in, my brothers and sisters, on a magnificent, dynamical night, y'all. I'm telling y'all, this is January the 12th, y'all, of 2024. Oh, what a magnificent show we have lined up for you right here tonight, right here on Culture Freedom Radio Network. Almost definitely back in his house. I tell y'all what, it's cold outside, but y'all know what, it's going to be warm up in tonight. It's going to be warm up in here tonight. Yes, sir, indeed. Hey, I am your brother Ariah Israel, brother Morey Ariah Israel. Yes, sir. Y'all know Morey means teacher. When I say Morey, that only means teacher. Y'all in the Hebrew language. And also, some of y'all know me right there as the brother Sunray 9. Y'all know it, the old school Sunray 9. But I ain't going to be Sunray 9 tonight because that's that wild guy right there, man, brother Sunray 9. I got to be on my best behavior tonight. Y'all got to be on my best behavior tonight because we got some special guests in the house tonight. I got my brothers in the house tonight with me, y'all. Yes, sir, indeed. Got some special brothers of mine in the house who will be sitting with us right here tonight with Culture Freedom Radio Network. And we want to do something we've never done right here on Culture Freedom Radio Network. Got some brothers in here tonight. I'm going to be representing, and I got to say it like this, y'all, but representing the Christian foundation tonight, a spiritual foundation tonight. Y'all know Brother Ariah Israel for Liberation Tabernacle Ministries and Liberation Tabernacle of Yah. Y'all know my stance for my spiritual system that I practice, somewhat of, say, a form of Judaism, Israelite tradition. And tonight I want to do something special tonight. We want to do something here tonight. I ask these brothers to come on with me tonight because we truly have something that we have to talk about. My brothers here tonight, both pastors here, my brother Pastor Norman, I'm just using the first name, y'all, Pastor Norman, our brother Pastor Jerry will be in the house tonight. But there are some serious issues that we have to, as spiritual leaders, clergy, to address. So I, you know, y'all hear me all the time talking about it from the Israelite spiritual system or tradition of Judaic. And I know sometimes y'all see it out here where y'all see a lot of Israelites talking against pastors or talking maybe against Christianity. Y'all see maybe there are some things, maybe certain pastors talking against the Israelites and belief. But we want to show something tonight, because some unity, because I tell y'all something, brothers and sisters, even though there may be some doctrinal differences and things of this nature, theological differences that occur, but I tell y'all one thing, we have a common interest right now that we really have to address. And that is, there are certain things that the enemy, the adversary don't want neither one of us is because we both hold true and stand on the principles of what we call the Bible, right? And like I said, even though there may be some theological differences, but we ain't getting into that. And I want to say this clear tonight, for the record. We ain't getting into that tonight. Y'all come hear this thing? Y'all think y'all finna hear a debate? No, you might as well go and find something else to listen to. Go find your damn football game, basketball game, because this ain't what this going to be tonight. Because what I think here, we want to talk about, man, there's a lot of things they got with this thing, Satanism and all of this stuff they're bringing into elementary schools and things of this nature. We got so-called clergy people, and this is what we want to get to, truly going to touch on too. We got so-called folks who claim to be shepherds of the Most High that's out here leading the sheep astray. That's why tonight's title is called, y'all see it right there on the title, Are God's Sheep in Danger Because of Wicked Shepherds? Let me say that one more time, y'all. Y'all know, like, I like to do a little repeat, y'all. I like to do a little repeat. Are God's sheep in danger because of wicked shepherds? Did y'all hear me out there? So, yeah, we're going to get into it tonight, y'all. We're going to get into this tonight. We got to make this clear, y'all, because I tell y'all, man, there's some things that ain't right out there. And And I'm going to hurry up and get my brothers in here. Y'all know I got to open up. I got to open up with some my inspirational music. Y'all know I can't do it. Y'all, I can't do it unless I got to be some inspirational music. So we're going to open up with some inspirational music, and we're going to get the brothers in here. Let me find. Oh, man, where'd it go, y'all? Got to find my history list. I had a song that I was going to play. It disappeared on me. Let me see. Let me get this here. One second, y'all. Let me make sure I got this right. But yeah, we're gonna talk about this tonight. We got a lot of things on the table. What I'm gonna talk about tonight. Oh, make sure this thing, it didn't load up right. Let me start over again. But yeah, there's some things we're gonna address tonight, brothers and sisters. We wanna talk about the behavior, number one, of how spiritual leaders are supposed to be behaving themselves, the behavior that a clergy, I don't care if it's a pastor, imam, rabbi, whatever it is, how they're supposed to conduct themselves. Because like I said, if we're supposed to be the shepherds, and if y'all know we ain't acting right, y'all know y'all ain't gonna act right, because there's so many people, man, I'm telling you, ain't acting right out there, because some of these so-called shepherds, they leaders, the T.D. Jakes, the damn Jamal Bryant and the likes of people like that, acting a plumb fool. They not representing the tradition that they supposed to be representing right? Oh, they got some foolishness out here. But we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna hold it on long. But let me get this here, y'all. I gotta get me some music, y'all. I gotta set. Let's get this here, y'all. Cause I'm gonna tell y'all something. I know I've been changed. I don't know about y'all out there. Have y'all been changed? Let's get into it. Let's get it. I know how I've been changed because I have no desire to do the things that I used to do. I have no desire of going out here taking folks stuff that don't belong to me. I know I've been changed, y'all. I have no desire to be out here sleeping with another man's woman. I know I've been changed, y'all. I know I've been changed. I don't know about y'all, but I know I've been changed. This Sister LaShawn Page, I know I've been changed. And the angels in heaven, sure enough, have signed old Brother Ariya's name. And I'm going to make sure I keep on letting him reminding me that my name has been written down. All right, let's get into it. Y'all, let's get into it right here tonight. Are God's sheep in danger of because of wicked shepherds? Let's get these brothers in the house right here, Pastor Norman. Brother Jerry, Pastor Jerry in the house. Peace to y'all, brothers. Y'all mics are open, brothers. How y'all doing out there? God bless y'all. And thank you both of you. First of all, I thank both of y'all for taking y'all time out of y'all busy schedules for coming in right here to Culture Freedom Radio tonight and addressing the audience tonight. So appreciate both of y'all for coming in the house tonight. Appreciate both of y'all, brothers.
Bless you, brother. Bless you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Pat.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. And, I guess let me start with, I don't know. I'll give Jerry, because I know, Brother Jerry, I know you didn't probably have too much time. I'm going to come with both of y'all, though. If you want to address the people and let the brothers with a family know, probably what church affiliate, what church you probably pastor was a pastor at, and just, you know, shout this church out, shout your churches out. So I, yes, sir, Brother Jared, go ahead.
Go ahead, Brother Norm.
Okay, this is Elder Norman Davis. Represent Greater Faith Tabernacle in Whitehaven.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I fellowship at two churches. My brother have a church in Dyersburg, so I go down to help my brother at New Bethel Baptist Church, and also I affiliate with the Whole Truth Holiness Church in Earl, Arkansas.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Yes, sir. And like I said, tonight, you know, I spoke with, and y'all, I'm going to tell y'all, I know both of these brothers personally. I know both of these brothers personally. Yeah, we all work together. Well, I don't know. No, Norman didn't just work with Brother Jerry, but I work with both of these brothers, and I know them, and I tell them all the time. And I tell y'all sometimes, I'll be telling y'all, I'll be telling y'all about some things, and I'll be saying something on here, and I say, man, I got some pastor friends that I talk to. Y'all think I was playing, and y'all thought I was just playing, just saying something. No. And I tell y'all, man, we always talk. Brother Norman know for sure. We all always. If I have something, I call my brother, and we have discussions a lot of times on biblical things, all the time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, bro.
I'm going to go ahead and let you open it up. Brother Jay can open it up, and then I can follow if his time is limited.
Yeah. No. Well, it's not really limited, but I'll start it off. Thank you. as our brother was speaking, he was talking about, you know, the leaders, and it's one scripture that comes to my mind when we talk about God's people, you know, as his sheep. And this scripture often comes to my mind, and that is, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow.
Yeah.
And that's been one of my biggest thing in church, is a lot of people don't know the voice of God. And so that's what happens sometimes when people get led astray, is because they really don't know, you know, the voice of God. And you all can, you know, jump in time on this. But my thing is, when I have the opportunity to minister, I always say, you got to know God for yourself, not just through your leader or through your friend or your associate. You got to know him for yourself, because even if the leader gets off, and when I'm talking, I tell people, I have no problem talking about myself. If I gets off, I'll tell anybody, you don't have to follow me or listen to me, because we have examples in the Word of God, like Peter, for instance, when he said, Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. This same Peter, after he did this, turned around, and when Jesus told him his fame, what was going to happen to him, he said, not so. He had to turn right around and rebuke this same Peter. So
that's right.
People have to know God from themselves and know that it's God that's speaking, it's God that's leading, because we have a conduct and a way that we have to present ourselves. It doesn't matter what denomination, whatever we say we in. And I'm gonna shut up, because I get to going and won't stop. But I let people know. I come out of a Baptist church. My mom started us out in Baptist. We left Baptist. We went to Church of God in Christ. I got called in the ministry while I was in Church of God in Christ. And these things, this is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, you are not a Church of God in Christ preacher. You just happen to be in Church of God in Christ when I called you. You're my preacher. You're no denominational preacher. And I have nothing to kick against nobody, whatever your belief or religion, wherever you are. But I just know that what God told me, and that is, you're not a particular type of preacher. You're just the preacher that I call. And I stand on that, because a lot of time we, as brother said in the beginning, we get into debate with one another because of the fact of, I might not see it your way. We may not see it your way. But however it may be, the enemy is winning the battle while we battling at each other, you know.
Yes, sir.
And so that's just my input on that. I'm going to be quiet and somebody else can say something there.
Yes, sir.
All right, my brother. That was good. That was good. Yes, we are in a battle. And that topic, man, that topic, it did something to me, man. It was grinding on me.
Yeah.
My God, keep in danger because of the wicked shepherds. And see, if we want to go scripture, that pointed me in the direction of this scripture, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they have more abundantly. And see, when I read that, God put it in my grow, in my system. He said, let me show you how to break that down, brother preacher. And he asked me the question. And see, I'm going to come back to that question, but I'm going to say this. Yes, we got to know the difference. Because is it three voices that you will hear? One is God, one is Lord, and one is the devil. You and the devil sound alike. That's why we make bad decisions, because we sound too much like Satan.
Come on, preacher.
We need to be quiet and let God speak so we can hear him, because he has a mild voice. Now, that question that he put on my heart to break that scripture down, John 10:10, the thief cometh not to steal, kill, and destroy. Everyone got that twisted. The thief is not Satan. If you read, it is not Satan that he's talking about. He is talking about a bad pastor. That is who came to steal, kill, and destroy. Because if you go to verse 11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, you show me in the Bible anywhere where they call Satan the shepherd.
Nowhere.
You will find that. Then jump down to 13. It says a hireling flees because he is a hireling, which is a pastor getting a salary. And see, we have that mixed up. We need to go to 2 Timothy, study thyself to be approved. See, we take stuff from face value. We listen to stuff. We read one sentence, one scripture, then we break and run and tell the whole world, but we never broke that scripture down. We never dissected it. We never got it real in its whole entirety. We are quick to speak. But we need to sit back and gather. So we are deeply in trouble. And we are in trouble because of lack of knowledge. And that is how the bad pastor get in to mess the sheep up.
Yes, sir.
A lot of us put COVID as an excuse. No, God told you this would happen in Revelation. He told you this stuff was going to happen beforehand. God allowed that. This is my opinion. God allowed that. He allowed it to come to see just where his people are. To see how many churches folded up because of COVID. How many people are Zooming because of COVID, and COVID is gone now. That was 3 years ago, but you still Zooming. See? And then Satan is the prince of the air, which is the airwaves. So, Brother Franklin, we need to put some power on this airwaves so he won't interrupt it tonight. So they got to hear this.
Oh, yes, sir. Give it to him.
He's the prince of the air. He be messing all them Zoom services up. A lot of people say, hey, I didn't see you. I seen you, but I didn't hear you. I heard you, but I didn't see you.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to do better as leaders. I'm not going to blame it on all of the wicked pastors. I'm not going to blame. I blame it on the good ones as well. Because if we are feeding our sheep good food, they won't they won't stray off. And whatever God has his hands on is good.
Good.
And the devil has to get permission from him to do anything, to even get close to his sheep.
Hmm.
I'm going to stop right there for a minute.
Yes, sir. Get y'all ready. Both of y'all ready. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the reason being, my brothers and sisters, why we even having this discussion again is because of what we and I'm just using an example is, and we're not, I'm not trying to just go at him because God going to deal with him point blank period anyway by himself. We ain't doing it, but you know, we've seen this thing every couple of weeks, all this stuff going on like in the news about T.D. Jakes hanging out with Puff Daddy and the likes. And this is what we're talking about, and people bringing this up because T.D. Jakes is supposed to be this representative of the Most High, and he's hanging out. It's just not because he's just hanging out with P. Diddy, but it's where he's hanging out with P. Diddy. It's talking about those parties, those type of parties, and everybody in the industry and places, they know the type of party that P. Diddy has. And for you as a pastor, a man of God, a shepherd, as we say, you hanging out at one of P. Diddy parties like that, you have no business whatsoever being at one of those places. You got no business.
You're right.
Now, P. Diddy, you talk about you need to minister with P. Diddy. P. Diddy know where your church is. He got money. He can fly from wherever, New York to Texas. He can fly. He can get there. No, you ain't going there, brother. Talking about no. It's just like you going to Magic City. Talking about you trying to minister down in Magic City Strip Club. Come on now. You know you're lying now. You know you're lying now, Pastor. You know you ain't got no business, T.D. Jakes, hanging out in places like that. Now, come on now. So this is the reason people, the eyebrows are raising. So when you are doing that and all these other allegations are coming out, they were like, hey, well, he might be in. Because if he's hanging out in them type of parties and doing that, and they know what goes on in them parties. So they's like, hey, Jakes, you might be doing them other things then. See, if you don't hang out in them, it's like, I'm gonna say like this. You can't be hanging out. You can't be in the pig pen hanging where they got all that slop at, and don't think ain't no slop gonna get on you. You can't be in the pig pen with all that slop and ain't no, and think them pigs ain't gonna throw no slop on you. But you got to be out your mind.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And Brother Sunray, and
yes,
too, man, you talked about this before about how we turn on and turn off our ways of worshiping, our Christianity. No, you said 24-24. Be that same, because people are watching you. You have to uplift, you have to uphold that same. I'm the same guy, Monday through Friday, even the weekends, 24-7. I'm that same guy. And I would talk about, me and you talked about this, brother, somewhere. We can bring up Jesus, God, the Holy Ghost, in any given conversation. We can see a young lady, young man walking down the street, and I can say, praise God for them. I hope they make it to their destiny. I'm that same guy. I'm not going to turn it off when the weekend hit.
Yes,
sir. I'm still going to be praising the Lord when the weekend hit. You don't see me like that on Monday. I'm not going to go into work and say and throw a tantrum and throw a fit. Oh, it's Monday again. I praise God for Monday because I woke up.
Yeah.
We cannot turn this off, and it's like we said too, brother. Sir, it's certain things you cannot do.
Not do it.
Just like you said, you know you've been changed. Yes, when I've been changed, all the dirt fell off me. All the excess baggage of dirtiness fell off me. All the wickedness fell off. All the want to shoot somebody. All the bad attitudes. We don't have peachy king days all day, every day. God promised us, hey, if you follow me, you'll be all right. But it's not going to be easy. It will not be an easy job.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Brother Jared.
And to add to what he already said, you know, and see, that's when you have to be careful when you are like the limelight, like he is. And this thought comes to my mind. He may have started out being God's preacher and perhaps got off track. We have numerous examples in the Bible, the kings that ruled over Israel. And in one instance, the scripture said that he did not fully obey God. And in some instances, you know, just like what Brother Norman's saying here, you know, he's the same, he don't change. And then you have those that obey but don't obey fully. And I read that in the scripture about one of the kings. And this is just a today's example to us as leaders and preachers of what can happen, what can become or befall a person if they don't remain the same and stay with God. Mm-hmm. Because believe it, even though made his statement or said what he said, God is still going to judge him in this matter. Because there's so many people that are attached to him, so many souls, so many people have believed in him. So God has to deal with him to keep his name straight. Because there's no way it's just like you say, there's no way you could do it. If you lay, like the old folks say, if you sleep with dogs, ain't no way for you not to get fleas. At some point or another, you might not be a dog, but if you keep laying in the bed with dogs, sleeping in bed with dogs, eventually you're going to get fleas. And so it's a thing, you know, it's like you said, and like brother said, he could have flown out there to where he was and to talk to him, to minister to him. You don't have to go there. And you have to do things in a way where your good will not be evil spoken of. And, you know, and it doesn't matter, you know, and not just him. I'm not on that level, mega ministry and none of that, but still, I don't want my good to be evil spoken of. There's some places I'm just ain't going to go. You know, I don't care who doing it. You know, don't ask me to go in and buy your cigarette. Don't ask me to go buy your beer because I'm not going to do it. I don't care. You go buy your own. I'm not going to do it. I don't drink or I don't smoke. So guess what? I'm not going to be hanging out at those places, you know. I'm not going to do that. So, and it is from the least to the greatest. We all got the same rule when it comes down to walking upright, being an example. When someone's looking, when someone's not looking, we still have to be accountable unto God by how we conduct ourselves.
That's right.
It has to be. Yes. So, and when this happened, you know, to him, believe it or not, it affects all preachers.
Yeah.
It affects all, you know, as leader. You know, I hate that he got off track like that. I pray to God deal with him and that he, you know, straighten it up. Mm-hmm. We can't just write, he wasn't never called this and that. We don't know the case. We were not there. But I know that God is going to deal with the matter because God's not going to be made a mockery of. He's not going to be made a mockery of.
Mm-hmm. And two brothers, Jerry, my thought is, man, we are men of God. We preach this day in, we preach it day out. And then if we don't believe what we're preaching, who will? And see, I'm not doing this for a show, man. I'm doing this to earn my ticket and make sure my ticket is stamped and ready for when that time comes. I'm not going to go. That is blood on our hands.
That's what the word saying.
That is one of our hands, man. And man, we cannot. If I'm believing in God in totality, I don't care if I'm broke. And one thing that I know, if God don't do it for me now, I know he's able.
He's able.
See, I'm going to keep that in my soul. The devil cannot touch me. He can. He, like I say, he has to get permission for one. And then, two, the devil cannot mess with your mind. The only thing he can do is throw ideas at you because your soul lies in your mind. That's why I pray for my mind daily.
Yeah.
I pray for my mind daily because that's where my soul lies at. And then I put myself in it. Man, oh, man. I go to the scripture, Luke 13 and 6, man, about the fig tree. This guy got a certain limit of time to make this tree produce fruit. Now, if you put bad fertilizer on your tree, ain't nothing going to happen.
Nothing going to happen.
Nothing going to happen. And then you got to look at this analogy. God is the disappointed owner. The pastor, preacher, elder is the caring gardener. So God giving you the word in your heart, your word, which is the Bible, is the fertilization of this situation. That's how you fertilize your trees and let it produce. And he said, hey, your thing ain't produced nothing in 3 years. Cut it down. Cut it down. But God thinks it's fit to give him another chance, just like he give each and every one of us another chance to get it right.
Yes, sir.
Don't throw that chance away. And see, to each his own. Money is not going to move me. That's why I don't see why, if you got a bank load of it, why do you do the things you do? See, if you are rich already, why you do the things you do? In actuality, that tells me you ain't in it to win it. You in it for the fame.
That's it.
You in it for the fame. And man, these people better wake up. I mean, we need to wake up. We need to wake up as leaders. We need to wake up. We need to wake up because we're dying. We are dying daily.
Yes, we are dying.
And you know what? Ecclesiastes tell us, why die before your time?
Man, there you go.
Why die before your time? Because, see, if you want to get technical about it, back in Methuselah days when them cats lived to be 900 and some odd years old, it was lovely. And God said, these wicked men that I created, so he broke that time span down from 900 and some years all the way down to 120 years. And guess what? We still acting wicked. We still doing doctrine of men. We still leading folks in the ditches the wrong way. So he said, I'm going to fix that. He took that 120 away. Now he got it to 70 years right now. We always down to 70. If you live 71, 72 years, you in overtime and you're doing great.
Come on, you're in overtime.
You're in overtime. We need to tighten up. Son Ray, keep having these shows, man. Invite more and more and more.
Yes, sir. And see, this is what it is. This is a unity thing. So I told y'all, brothers and sisters, y'all thought that this was going to be one of them things we're going to be debating the scripture. This ain't that. It ain't going to be that. Because like I told y'all, we got a greater fight. We got a greater mission to accomplish. Our people are being destroyed out here. The enemy is truly destroying our people. And I want to play something. I don't know if y'all brothers heard this one right here. I want to play something right here. It just happened right here in DeSoto. Well, happened in DeSoto County. Just look at this right here, brothers and sisters. I've been telling people, man, the Bible is under attack. I don't care. I'm just going to say the Bible is under attack. They don't want God. and the word of God, and it's really the righteousness that's coming from the Bible. When we read in the scriptures, they don't want to exist, brothers and sisters. I've been telling y'all that y'all know on Culture Freedom. I've been saying it for a long time. I've been saying it, but check this out. Here, let me see. I hope y'all can hear this. Let's see. Let me make sure.
It's a disciplinary notice that many parents.
Hold on, first of all, can y'all hear that, brother?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can hear.
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go. Let me get this. Check this out.
It's a disciplinary notice that many parents don't expect to get from their child's teacher. One Mid-South mom says her 7-year-old son was written up because he said Jesus Christ in a moment of frustration at school.
Fox News' Lakia Scott is joining us live from South Haven tonight. So, Lakia, what exactly happened here?
Well, Darcy Darrell, Shauna Coleman told me that her son received a disciplinary note to go on his record because at recess he said Jesus Christ. Now, she says she's reaching out to the school district and the school because she's still confused about why he got written up.
The church said Jesus Christ. Bible studies, they say Jesus Christ.
But Shauna Coleman says when her 7-year-old son said Jesus Christ at school last week, he was written up. She got a call from his first grade teacher.
She said, said a bad word today. So we was like, okay, so what did he say? And she said he said Jesus Christ.
The disciplinary notice from Hope Sullivan Elementary School dated January 4th says, quote, he said Jesus Christ when he dropped his Legos. He was cleaning up from recess. The notice also checks off a box that says unacceptable language and another box that reads had conference with student.
Never in my life have I heard at a public school that you cannot say Jesus Christ. And she said, well, it wasn't that he said the word. It was how he said it because he dropped his Legos.
So let me ask you this. Is there a policy within the school district that you're not supposed to say Jesus Christ? Have you seen that in the handbook?
I have not seen that in the handbook.
We dug through district documents ourselves in search of policies that address language. We found a section for exhibiting any hostile physical or verbal actions and another for using profane, obscene, indecent, immoral, or offensive language, but nothing that specifically addresses using the term Jesus Christ or any other religious term. In a statement from DeSoto County Schools, the district says DeSoto County students would not be reprimanded for simply saying Jesus Christ. While district officials cannot comment on specific student situations, it is possible that a student could be corrected for a disrespectful use of Jesus Christ's name.
Hmm.
Well, that statement from DeSoto County Schools goes on to say several schools in the DeSoto County School District have Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Fellowship of Christian Students chapters, which meet on our campuses. Daryl, Darcy.
That is
now, they suspended a young – well, not suspended. I'm serious. I'm sorry. They written a brother up because he said Jesus Christ. They act like when he dropped the Lego blocks, he said, you mother God. No. Didn't say that, y'all. He said Jesus Christ. I guess when he said I've been Jesus, they supposed to bleep that out too. But but now y'all, hold on, wait a minute, hold on. Now, like Nate Dogg used to say, y'all would, you know, hold up, wait a minute now. You can have a Satan's. You can go to after school now. You can go to Satan's Bible Club, but you better not say Jesus Christ. What y'all say on that one, brother?
Dr. Sun Ray. That's just like, and then if you listen to the interview, if like you said, it ain't what he said, it's how he said it. Now check this out.
Yeah.
Look at this. It's just like him saying, hell. Mm-hmm. I can justify saying hell, but it's how I say it. Mm-hmm. You feel me?
Yeah.
I can say, what the Sam blank is you talking about? And then I can turn around and justify that and say, hell's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Or damn. It's how I say it. It's how I improvise. Man, these folks are taking the smallest. and try to turn it into the greatest. And see, they know what they're doing because they're targeting our future.
Yes, sir. He was a young little black brother, a young black brother at that. A young little, nah, if I throw race in, he was a little young black brother. 7 years old. Yes, sir. And I'm going to say this right now, and I heard Brother Jerry want to get in. Now, we got to look at it. Now, when they're targeting our children with all this LGBT alphabet soup game in the schools, and they are having these children being targeted with all of this trap music and drill music, murder music, disrespecting women and all of this stuff, at least the brother, I mean, you know, he didn't come in there talking about I'm going to murder somebody and none of this stuff, being disrespectful. And he dropped the thing. You know, as adults, we would say, I begot so-and-so. You know, some adults will say that. But the brother said, you know, Jesus Christ. But you get wrote up. That's the world we're living in, y'all. That's why we're saying we're having these conversations, because this thing here, y'all, is getting out of hand. But go ahead, Brother Jerry.
Yes, it's that's kind of strange. I guess I shouldn't think it's strange.
Yes, sir.
That they would make an issue out of that right there. I don't really see. I don't hear clearly. Understand why he would get right up, but they said it wouldn't be any disciplinary action. But I don't even understand why she would even bring that to a point to put that on record.
Yeah.
But the name of your school is Hope Elementary.
What?
I'm listening. I heard the name of the school. I think they say the school is named Hope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know Hope is in the Bible. You know, so I would hope that they would understand that the only true hope is in Christ, and that what this child said, well, you know, he didn't by no means it seemed like he meant it in a derogatory way by using Jesus Christ. I think I would much rather hear them say that than to say some of the other stuff, just as example that brother was giving there. And it just shows the truth. This is right here in front of our face.
Yes, sir. All the time.
Correction of the world is going. Now, this is when we really got to get on our job as preachers and leaders, because these are the people that we entrust more time with our children than what we spend with them.
Right.
They spend more time with our children now than we do. And they showing us that they don't believe in Christianity, they don't believe in Christ. They showing us that they don't believe in it. They showing us this. But these are the people that where we got to send our children to every morning to the latter part, afternoon, to the evening, to come back home with us. And then we try to carry them to church on Sunday to try to teach them different, but they done had them all week long. This is something we got to look at now. Monday through Friday, our children indoctrinating them with their beliefs and the way they say. Don't think they're not, because they are. They teaching more than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in school at ABCD.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all growing up in school.
You know what else they teaching?
Say that again. I said they're teaching more than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in ABCD in the schools now.
Yeah,
they're indoctrinating.
I'm going to tell you something. Now, this is my opinion. This is my opinion.
Yeah.
And I don't think my opinion is missing too far off the mark.
Mm-hmm.
They teaching them children to disrupt households. Now, if you look at it.
Yes.
They teaching them children how to disrupt the household. And then just look at it. Just look at it now. Now they're talking about keeping these kids in school more than they supposed to be now. In a few, they're going to cut out summer vacations, and they're talking about that already.
To my school year-round.
Year-round, yes, sir.
Won't to take control of the mind of the children.
Yes, sir.
Use them against, just like what Brother Norman saying here, to use them in the home to be against whatever we teach them. And then here we are, can't make Sunday school. and don't want how to make the Bible study. And this, and it goes back to what the brother said earlier. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. Our children get more knowledge of other things than they are of God. Why? Because we only, if we do cam, it's only on the Sunday most of the time. And it's just me speaking now. I can't speak for everybody else. But a lot of time, the majority of people are saying, how many go to Bible study?
Yeah, that's it.
How many make the Bible school?
What's that?
You know, they say, oh, we can do this at home. We don't have to do that, this and that. But look how much time that the enemy has to manipulate the mind and to indoctrinate the mind of our children.
Mm-hmm.
And they
got that
the school system.
Mm-hmm.
They don't sit through music. Just like what Brother said earlier, they're doing it through the music, through social media, through the airway, the first power of the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's much, you know, that been poured into the mind of our children, and then look the way things are happening in Memphis.
Yeah.
Just look how out of control it is.
Yes, me and Dr. Sondre was talking about this, I think, about a week ago, about Bible study. See, when you go to Bible study, all you're doing is getting prepared for the meal on Sunday.
Yeah.
See, you go to Bible study, we are getting taught about the Bible, and then when the pastor get up there and preach a sermon, you pretty much can dissect what he's talking about because you've been to Bible study. Because it's really just an appetizer for Sunday morning. And I tell you this, doctor, I tell you this. If you do a survey on average church goer, just do a survey on the average congregation, I bet you a dime to a donut, and I'm not a gambling man, that each one of them almost can tell you how many people sing in the choir, what song they sing, who messed up on a note, how many gay folks in that congregation, who's stealing what, who doing this and who doing that. And then turn around and ask them, what did the preacher preach? That's what, and all they can say, he did a great sermon. That was a great sermon. But he touched me with that sermon. What did he talk about?
Yes, no. What was the moral of the sermon? What was it? What was the moral of that sermon? And you know what? And that's what they need to start. That's what the churches ought to start doing. And I can't say, I'm going to say that, but that would be something. And you will find out that people, like you said, brother, don't know. If you gave the people a pop quiz, a weekly pop quiz on the sermon, when you do a sermon and then you get them a pop quiz, you talking about some F's. Just like they came out with the Memphis City schools and they said that 20% of the Shelby County schools are failing. It would be the same way with a lot of these churches because people, like you said, it's Bible study. Because the Sundays, when you go to school on Sundays and you have, that is the worship service. That is for worshiping, giving God his praise. Like we have what we call Shabbat on what do you call Saturday. That's the worship where we take a day of rest and we give that moment to praise the Most High. That's the worship. You know, the churches have Sunday. That's the worship service if you're giving it the praise. But the other days, Wednesdays, some churches probably Wednesdays, that's when you go and you truly sit down, and you probably have Sunday school, but you have Bible study. It's just what it says, to study the Bible. Well, you can go in and the pastor can teach you a thing about what we call, learn what you call biblical hermeneutics. You learn about how the exegesis and eisegesis is, how to go into the scriptures and pull out that meaning of what this scripture is actually talking about. It's teaching. It's like in school, just like regular when you go to school, they taught you how when you're reading a paragraph, what is this story is talking about. This is what we have to go in and start teaching the people about the Bible. Okay, when you're reading, say, you know, like I said, John's chapter 1 and whatever, what is it talking about? Like, just say this, for instance, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. You know, and, you know, what is it actually talking? You ask me, what is that? Break that down for me. What is that talking about? Break that down. So it's like they have to be able to understand. So most of the people now you ask them, they can't tell you nothing.
Right.
And two, Dr. Sandre, my pastor, I'm under the pastor of Dr. Lester Johnson and Providence Joanne Johnson. Man, on Sunday after service, he picked someone. He said, hey, come in and put him on the mic and said, what was today's sermon?
That's one.
And tell me what it's about. And then he said, what you get out of it? He drills up. He drills up. And he said, he joked with us too, for the people that don't go to Bible school, he'll say, Bible study, he'll say, y'all coming to Bible study next Wednesday? What's that? A lot of us don't know. We just like Donald Trump talking about from 2 Corinthians. And then you would shoot a question, doctor, you would say, who wrote the book of Gideon? Somebody said, what's that epistle name? Ain't no book of Gideon.
There's no book of Gideon?
See, the second thing, you guys to read, man. And then I'm like this here. I don't know about everybody else, but I am like this here. You have to give me a proof text on everything you talking about. Everything. I don't have nothing against different denominational preachers, Baptist, this, that, and the other. One Lord, one faith in my book. Look here. But one thing getting me, when somebody get up there, I heard. If you heard something, that's a rumor. Give me the text where you got it from.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Bag it up.
Show me where it's at. Don't tell me what you heard. I heard this. I heard. No, show me where you seen it at.
Well, before you even get to that part, you ought to be done told where you got it from. I'm with
that's
you on that one. That's just your emotions. That's your exciting your emotions there. That's not going to help nobody.
That's why we are being destroyed. We are so traditional and we are so much geared up for a show on Sunday.
Yes,
we are geared up for a show on Sunday. And if the main attraction don't show up, they ain't going to show up.
They ain't going to show. That's right. Yes,
sir. Now, that is not a true shepherd. A true shepherd would say, I ain't preaching today. You still supposed to be in the house.
Man.
That's right.
Like that's right. Cause it ain't about him. Yes, sir. Like I said, it ain't about him. And that's what it is. Like, people now are basically, what we say, they are personality worshipers. Instead of worshiping the Most High, they're worshiping that so-called pastor, their leader. My pastor this, my pastor that. They ain't about your pastor. I want to read one quick thing right fast. I want to read, not going to say one quick thing, but I want to read something from the book of Jeremiah. Let me see what time we're going to do this right fast. Hold up. The book of Jeremiah. Okay. All right, most brothers, we'll be almost at the first hour right here on Culture Freedom Radio. We thank y'all for tuning in, everybody who's listening in. We really do appreciate y'all for tuning in tonight. Hey, my brothers in the house, I thank them one more time for coming in, taking their time out and sharing his word, man, sharing the word. And y'all see right here this unity. Like I said, y'all see how this going? See, we listen, because what we doing? We doing what God want us to do. You know, you got, y'all see this? Y'all come on now. Check this out, what y'all seeing tonight. Y'all got a brother who supposed to be from the Israelite or a Judaism tradition, sitting here with my two good brothers from a Christian, what y'all call the Christian a spiritual system, Christian religion, whatever y'all want to call it. Y'all see how we in unison with each other? Y'all see how it is? And this is what God wants from us to see. Because we're talking about how we're trying to help our people, brothers and sisters, get back to what? Get back to what? Righteousness, some morality. That's what we're talking about, y'all. So, yeah, thank y'all for tuning in. And we still got another maybe hour to go. But I greatly do appreciate these brothers. But I'm going to hear up so I can let these brothers go ahead. Because this, I want them to come in here tonight, y'all. Because this is something we had never done before on Culture Freedom Radio out of, what, the 15 years on the air. We never had nothing like this, y'all. We never had nothing like this. Check this out. But we're going to the book of Jeremiah right fast. Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, start at verse 1 in King James Version tonight. We say it's woe. And I like how it started off, y'all. I got to put emphasis. Whoa! I got to say it like that with emphasis, y'all. It says, woe be unto the pastors that destroyed and scattered the sheep of my pastor, says the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that fed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit you the evil of your doing, says the Lord. Y'all see that? This is more. But y'all keep on. That's Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, verses 1 through, I just stopped at, let me see, what did I stop at? I stopped at verse 2. But y'all can keep on going down there. Y'all can keep on going with it. But he's telling you, but y'all see what he said, the Most High. And y'all see, there has been a great falling away, as y'all may say, the churches. And y'all see how to even say it. Down a King James Version rendered that he says pastors. Y'all see that? But now he's talking to Israel, but he's using this word pastor in this term. And y'all, you know, different translations says different things. But he's blaming, y'all see, and this is what's happening, because we all see a lot of people say, well, they have, y'all heard this thing called church hurt. Some people have left because of certain things that certain pastors, these so-called shepherds, these leaders have done. And they have left the church all the way. They left these even Israelite camps and assemblies because of certain things that these leaders have done. It says, woe unto the pastors that have destroyed and scattered my sheep. It says, therefore, the Lord God told him, now, hold up, pastor, you ain't out of it now. He says, what did he say? He's the Lord God of Israel, say, against these pastors that fed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and I have and have not visited them. He says, I will visit you, the evil that you are doing. So, pastor, yes, sir, you're going to get you a visit there, doc. You're going to get you a visit. So you see what you have done to the Most High's people, his cherished. And the Most High says there, you bull of my eye. Yeah, so pastor, that's a heavy responsibility. Now, even go back to Paul. I think there was something in Paul. I know many brothers there. I know exactly where it is. Well, Paul says, man, I forgot. It's been so long since I read it. I remember something about something about not even want to desire the office of a pastor or bishop or something. You know, and that is a heavy thing. Some people are like, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a rev. And I want to, but hey, that is a heavy thing, y'all. You know, you thinking now there's something nice because you see your favorite television evangelist or somebody on there or somebody you knew. Hey, if y'all really knew the weight of being a spiritual leader and really the responsibility that goes with that. He said, hey, man, you really wouldn't want to desire. That's why some people say, and I'm going to hurry up and let these brothers get back. Some people are like, hey, I was running, man. God was calling me to preach and so on, but I was running. And they didn't want it. They didn't want that. They say, I was running, man. God kept on. I was running from them. I didn't want that. But, yes, sir, y'all go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Dr. Frankie. That's not Titus.
That's
Titus,
yes,
and Paul talked about that. Titus 1 and 9.
Titus 1 and 9, pull it up.
Yes, and man, I would tell anybody. And see, too, Dr. Frank, I'm going to say this, man, and Dr. Jerry.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people, and I try my best not to be judgmental. And I mean, to each his own. But from my gathering and my knowledge, a pastor is born, not created. See, he's been that way from his mom's womb. Now, the thing is, yes, he ran for years because he wanted to satisfy his own agenda first. That's when we run, because we want to satisfy our own agenda, because the Bible tells us specifically you only can serve one.
That's right.
So we're going to run. Why are we trying to serve that one, and that one is the streets? And then we put God after the streets. And if you notice, not being judgmental, not trying to step on no toes, but you notice 9 times out of 10 and 99.9% of the ones confess and accept that they calling went through a near-death experience.
Mm.
They went through a near-death experience. man, I survived the car wreck. I've been called to preach. No, you haven't. You just survived the near-death car crash. You ain't been called to preach. You've been called to tell your testimony, sir.
That's it. That don't mean you're a preacher.
That's right. You've been called to testify so you can save somebody else from going through the mess that you done went through.
Hmm.
You is born a preacher. It's in you from day one. The thing to that is you got to slow your tail down and accept your calling before it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
Before
yes,
it's too
sir.
Late.
Because
mm. a lot yes, of sir. Us get up there, man. We get up there. A lot of us be jazz singers. Thinking about our life that we had and this, that, and the other. And great, 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 great grandmama said, boy, you're a preacher. No, you ain't. You just can sing good. Boy, no, you ain't. You just got away with it. See, God blesses us with individually. He happened to bless me with the gift of gab. But he called me to preach. And I'm going to tell everybody, and I'm over the radio, I hope the whole world listen to this.
Yes, sir.
I didn't want to be no preacher.
Amen.
I did not want to be no preacher.
I wouldn't wish this on nobody.
I'm telling you, because, man, if you only knew the souls that you got in your hands and the blood that you got over your head, for one, you are responsible for a lot of people, and you really don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, too, you got to watch what you're doing, what you're saying, how you say it, and when you say it. Because when you're a man of God, you got to give them what thus said the Lord and not thus said what that bottle had me to say.
Mm-hmm.
See, this thing ain't nothing to play with.
No, sir.
This thing is, and see, I'm going to tell you something. We got the audacity to put God on hold and put him on a back, so to speak. And all we are saying in actuality is, I'm not afraid of God.
Because
if I was afraid of God, I wouldn't be doing the things I do, especially in his name.
Mm-hmm.
Blasphemy, ooh, if you read some blasphemy, you will back up and think about it 2-3 times. And then if you're a false prophet, you will read about that and see the consequences you're going to get hit with. You won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the time to sit every? Oh, you think you got to sit down just on Saturday and prepare for Sunday? No, you got to prepare all month almost, all week. You got to give what God asked you to give.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a true witness of this. I went up there and wrote a sermon 2 weeks before it was time for me to preach the sermon. And said, I'm going to knock the church out of socket with this. I'm going to knock them down with these words. And as soon as I got up there in the pulpit, God said, hold on, son. God shut that thing down.
Yes, sir.
And said, you ain't going to preach what you wrote. You're going to preach what I tell you to preach.
Come on, preacher.
You ain't finna get up there and think you're gonna captivate the congregation with your big words and your gestures of this, that, and the other. God's gonna tell you to come from the hip and what's in your heart, what I put in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Brother Jay. I mean, I got hot.
It takes a heart to reach a heart. And I like the scripture in Jeremiah also that says that I will give you pastors after my own heart. And as my brother Norman was saying there, and I tell people, I wouldn't wish this on nobody.
Yes,
preaching the gospel is what they think. Because, see, you're not going to, just as he said, you're not going to go in there and just, in that word, and just pick you out something that which you want to preach. No, when you've been called to preach, you're going to live your sermon before you preach it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go through. You're going to suffer. You're going to have hard time. People sleep, you woke. See, the preacher don't sleep all the time.
No, sir.
See, preachers don't sleep all the time. Sometimes preachers get very little sleep because God dealing with them about something or dealing with them about something.
Tell it, bro.
Or got you praying for somebody. And there'll come times when you want to eat that you just won't eat because God dealing with you. People don't understand. It's not a glamour thing. And these folks, yeah, some of these folks, just like he said, they just putting on a show.
That's right.
And when suffering time comes and when trying time comes, it's just like he said, it shows that they just a hireling. They run. When the enemy comes, they run. And I tell anybody, I didn't want to be no preacher. I ain't have no sense marking preachers and stuff when I was a kid. I wanted to be a preacher because I didn't know no better, not knowing that God was calling me.
That's right.
But I ran when I understood that he was him that was calling me, but I had to answer the call. But all throughout my life, I suffered. I could tell you some stories, and you would look and say, how did you make it? Well, I know how I made it.
That's right.
I know how I made it.
That's
right. If you're going to be a preacher, you're going to go through some stuff. You're going to suffer some stuff.
Ooh-wee.
See, sometimes you fall up into what he's saying, like the people applauding you and say, go ahead and preach this and that, and you straight across there, you putting on your show. That ain't preaching.
No.
It's when you reach somebody and they change. They don't want to live the way they used to live. A change actually come. A change actually take place.
Mm-mm.
Is a dangerous thing.
Yes,
sir. If people under the hood with preaching you, it's a dangerous thing.
Yes, sir.
And let me say this, brother, dear. I don't mean to cut you off, brother. And I say this, and I've said this to many pastors. Every pastor ain't fit for every congregation.
That's right.
Every pastor is not fit for every congregation. So I done went and preached sometime, and a person ain't say a word. Didn't give me one amen.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? I kept on preaching, and somebody finally said amen because I knew I was going to reach one.
That's right.
I would let 99 go just to reach that one. And when I reached that one, I know I did God's work and God's will.
That's right.
And Dr. Frankly, I had a – how much you got?
What was it? Go there again, brother.
How many books you got?
I don't even know.
It ain't easy, is it?
I don't even know, bro. I promise you I don't know.
It is not easy, is it?
Bought some yesterday, the other day.
Yeah, but you showed me a whole desk of them. It's not easy studying all them books.
Yes, sir. I had one of my partners that was on here, used to be with me, David Israel. He just said, man, you got the Library of Timbuktu over there, man.
That's right. Because you know something, Dr. Frankie. That's why me and you, we elaborate on a lot of stuff. We disagree on stuff, but we do not be mad about it.
No, sir.
That's why I said this is one true brother. This brother here, you got knowledge on top of knowledge, and you share it.
Yeah.
See, that's what we got to do. We got to get back to that sharing.
Yes, sir. And we encourage you.
You call me in the morning. I got a question for you. And I said, Dr. Frank, I got this for you. You said, I got this for you. I said, send me this. Send me that. I am not ashamed to say, hey, brother, I'm 61 years old and still learning.
Yes, sir.
Look, if you not still learning, you dead.
Man,
I'm gonna learn till I am no longer on the face of this earth. I don't care how long I've been married, whatever this net, I'm always trying to learn.
That's right.
Oh,
especially with the word. Because
yes,
that Bible will put a twist on your mind.
Yes, sir. And Brother Norm, I want to go back and reiterate some again. Now, and they know for everybody on this channel, they know me. And they say again, because I got to keep reiterating this, because I want them to sink into the people's mind tonight and whenever they hear this. Again, I say I'm Israel, and mostly people say Tanakh only, meaning I mostly stand on, well, I do kind of study, stand on the, what they, my people might call the old. But again, brother, I want them to hear this. Again, like you said, I might call you some morning when I'm at work. Hey, Brother Norman, what? And we have discussions. Again, brother, y'all, I'm calling my brother, and we have Bible discussions about, what you think about this one, brother? What's so-and-so? I ain't saying I call another Israelite brother, and I'm asking, I'm calling my brother, he's still my brother, and I know he in that word, and I know, and it might be something I'm thinking about. I said, I get his opinion on it.
That's right.
Now, don't we do that all the time, on my brother?
I'm going to put it this way. We do it quite often. Quite
yes, sir.
Often. Quite often.
Yes,
sir. I'm gonna tell the radio land this. We do it like it's the first thing starting our day. It's early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
Before some people still be asleep. We start our day off with talking about this, talking about the, I mean, and we hit some good points. I would call him. I said, Frank, send me this, man, if you don't mind. And he'll send it to me. He'll send me some. He'll send me this. And he'll say, Dr. Norman, you heard about this. He said, I'm going to send it to you. And, man, that enlightened my heart and mind so much. Because, man, my heart, my soul is getting fed.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? He don't send me no mess about, man, somebody dropping it like it's hot. Man, somebody doing, oh, no.
No.
We talking about something that'll benefit us and our future. And see, we need to grab hold for our future because it's slipping between our fingers. It really is.
Slipping fast, too.
It's slipping
fast. Yes, sir.
Fast.
Yes, sir. And see, that's
what
y'all
got to read. Satan said, what you leaders going to do about this one?
And see, this is what y'all got to realize. And I want my brothers and sisters, y'all, to listen to this and understand this. And we sometimes we take this thing too far. It's still, and I'm going to say this, because it's still our brothers and sisters, the melanated, black, whatever you want to, brothers and sisters, no matter what our spiritual tradition is, that still, we're still each other's brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell y'all, I heard a story the other day, and I was intending to look it up. I didn't get a chance to even look it up. But I was listening to a class the other day. And they was talking about in Nigeria on Christmas, they said 250 Christians was killed in Nigeria on Christmas. Now, y'all know there's been a war for a long time going in Africa. See, this don't get the news like Israel and the Palestinians. But they were killed by other Africans, other Nigerian Africans. Y'all know that. Come on now. Just like in the Sudan, they got the Muslims. Now, they all Sudanese, the Sudanese Muslims and the Sudanese Christians, they've been having a civil war with each other for a long time. And they all the same doggone people, y'all. But it's just spiritual traditions. I like to call it spiritual traditions that they have. But they will kill 250 Christians killed on Christmas, Nigerians. But they all, just like we've seen what's happening in this city of Memphis and other cities here in this in the United States, black on black killing each other. But a lot of this stuff, we having these debates and killing each other and slaughtering each other while our enemy is saying he's loving this right now. Because, again, they're trying to destroy your children while we arguing and fussing and fighting. And I see Israelites debating with Christians online. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Why y'all debate? Yeah. Come on, we need to be teaching our people, brother, teaching them righteousness, teaching them morality. Y'all want to argue over this and so-and-so? It don't make no damn. Why the enemy is out here laughing and want to destroy all of us. He don't care if you saying you were Israelite or Hebrew or Nebrew or whatever. He don't care. He want that Bible gone. He want it gone. So you keep on acting a doggone fool, us fussing and fighting. But I tell y'all what, y'all can be distracted with that. Because there's going to be brothers like us. We're going to keep on sounding the trumpet. We're going to do our duty. I mean, what they say, y'all, many are called, but only few are chosen. We're going to be in that few that's going to be chosen. Because we're going to make sure we do our duty. That's a fact. But I want to throw in something, just some rules right here. That, not some rules, but
Some things y'all need to hear is some credentials. Now, like my brother Norman brought out Titus, and now this is going to be the New Living Translation. There's some things that even what Paul was giving some credentials on right here. Now, I'm getting a New Living Translation because I want to make it plain for some people out here. And when you're looking at some of these so-called leaders, I don't care what tradition it is. I'm just going to make it plain. If you kind of call yourself a spiritual leader, let's look at this. And you see how you're supposed to be. Now, here's I'm going to start at, it's Titus chapter 1, and I'm starting at verse 6 of the New Living Translation. It says this here. He's giving instructions on how you're supposed to be. He said, the elder must live a blameless life. He must be faithful to his wife. You hear that, Jamal Bryan? You hear that, Jamal Bryan and all some of y'all out there? Yeah, I said his name. You must be faithful to his wife, and his children must be believers who don't have a reputation of being wild and rebellious. A church leader is a manager of God's house, so he must live a blameless life. He must not be arrogant and quick-tempered. He must not be a heavy drinker, violent, and dishonest with money. You hear that? And then I want to drop down to Titus chapter 2, and let's see here, Titus chapter 2. Now, let's just start at 1. Start at verse 2. It says, teach older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy. Now, you're talking to Titus here, giving him how to promote right teaching. Let me start back over at verse 2. He says, teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, y'all get tie tongue on this English language. He said, teach, ladies, here we go, sisters. Teach older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not be slanderers. Now, they must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they must teach others what is good. The older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and pure, and to work in their homes. But see what you see here? The older women must teach the younger women. And that's what we're missing a lot of today. You see, young sisters, y'all listen here, older sisters, y'all can't be watching these younger sisters out here want to twerk and shake their little rump, and y'all want to start doing the same thing they doing. Y'all got to tell them what they say, even dressed in modest apparel, with your hind parts, like my grandma used to say, your hind parts hanging out, you older women trying to do with them young folks. You got to tell these young sisters how to cover themselves up and dress in modest apparel, not what they, they two-piece. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They two-piece hanging out in the top. Nuh-uh. You got to teach them how to dress appropriately. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's true. That's the word.
We need to get back in the word.
Yes, sir.
And as I say, Dr. Frankie, Dr. Jerry, I didn't say that. That was your Bible saying this.
Yes, sir.
The word says that now.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. So, but you know, if we don't get back to it, it's just going to be a continuation of what's going on now. More divorce, more adultery, more fornication.
Yes, sir.
Because if you look at it, counseling people, man, I sit back and I shake my head. I just shake my head. And 9 out of 10 people, the couples, I pretty much can tell you what the problem is. I say, you let mama in your business.
Mm-mm.
Or you let mama in your business. No offense to the ladies, now I'm just being real. I'm a candid type guy. I'm transparent. You let mama in your business. Now that mama destroyed your thing, now mama go in the corner and sit down. So, girl, don't come over here with your problem.
Tell it, bro.
That's a shame. That is a shame. You need to teach your daughter, your granddaughter, instead of being your ride or die. That's how you 70 years old, with some True Religion jeans on so tight on you, your blood pressure done went up. It needs to be sitting down somewhere.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And that goes with the men too.
That's right. That's right.
I had friends smoking weed with their dads. I said, man, what kind of mess is that?
My goodness.
If I turned up a can of beer and smoked a cigarette with my dad, he couldn't tell me nothing. When I was in the world, my pastor told me, Norman, you know why you ain't getting no respect at the house? I said, why? He said, because they see you drinking.
Mm-hmm.
How can you tell them some of your mind is not right? Your mind is distorted.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind is distorted. How can you tell? I said, Lord, remove this. I accept my calling and got, man, boy, you can't tell me nothing now. And I share that with anybody and everybody. And that Bible, I'd say this too. If that Bible is not true, I'm going back into the world.
And I know you ain't going there.
And you know I ain't going back.
I know you. I know you, Brendan. I know you're here, dude. I know you ain't true. I know it's true.
If that Bible ain't true, I'm going back in the world. And I tell people this. If you see me leave the Bible, you better leave me because I'm in trouble.
Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you, bro. Yes, sir.
But I'm going to tell you.
Yes, sir.
Tell you how true it is. Believe it or not, the world know it's true. The government know it's true. Because any president that comes into the United States, they're going to pull that big black Bible out. He got to put his hand on it and raise his right hand and say, do you solemnly swear to uphold Constitution of the United States? Well, if the Constitution is so strong and so powerful and the law itself is so strong, why you don't swear by the law? But instead, they swear by God's word.
Swear by the word.
And that's in the courtroom.
The
president that's coming in office.
That Bible out.
The judge going to tell you, put your hand on that book right there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you start to tell? And then I'm going to tell you something. See, people get this so twisted, brothers. They get it twisted. And I tell anybody this. I tell any man, female, I would tell you this. When you say your vows when you get married, when you say your vows, you ain't saying that to your husband and wife. You saying them to God.
Mm-hmm,
so why you
won't
sit up there and lie? You might as well just say, hey, I'm going to be married to you for 10 years, and after that 10, I'm out of here.
Yes, sir.
You saying them vows to God, and God is sitting there watching you, and he know what you're going to do anyway. So why don't you just save yourself a trip to hell and just tell the truth and say, I don't want to marry her that be with him that long.
Yeah.
I'm just being real.
That's right. Yeah,
I'm just
and
being real.
People don't understand. When you say, hey, when you say I do, you better be ready. You better be sure, because like you said, that's a contract with the Most High. Like I said, that ain't just with them. That's
right.
A contract. You said that before the Most High. And then notice who you have to go to. You don't go to the, you ain't going to no plumber or to the hardware store and get your marriage license or get in front of and get married. Who you go in front of? You go in front of one of the shepherds, and he have to do the ceremony. You don't go in just front of
anybody. Right. Well, let me ask you a question.
Sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Now, if you go before the Most High to do your vows and to do your covenant with one another, why is it that people turn around after they stood before God and made a covenant and made their vows and then turn around and go before the justice downtown to undo what they say God does? How can you undo what God does with a legal system?
They're confused.
That's very confused.
Because you want me to tell you something, bro, Jerry? I mean, I'm going to say this. That's why I tell you a pastor got a lot on his hands, because he's the one who put that thing together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You see, people don't that this stuff is not easy. That's on your hands now.
Sir,
when you marry them folks, that's on your hand now. That's on your hand. And then what a pastor has to do, and he has to be real. He cannot be biased. He got to be real.
That's right.
He got to send them through counseling. He got to drill them. He got to drill them until he know every inside and out, every doubt. He got to drill them until he know everything. And then when it's all said and done, he's going to say, do you want to do this? Because this ain't me. You ain't doing. You doing this in front of the Lord. You making them vows to him. Do you want to do this? I done seen them turn them away. I ain't marrying y'all. Y'all ain't ready for this. Just by the conversation. And see, man, like you said, Dr. J, it is, man, this stuff is hard, man. And then, like my pastor tell me, he said, Dr. Norman, I didn't call you to preach. God called you to preach. Not me. So I'm going to him about you. And he gave me the okay that you are okay. My pastor don't make a move until you go to God about any situation.
Yeah.
And see, a lot of us that we've been called to preach, no, we've been called. All of us have different callings. But sometimes we misinterpret them. Sometimes we get them twisted up with other things. We get our callings mixed up with gifts. We get our gifts mixed up with all kind of other things and swear up and down. But that ain't the call. You got to get on your knees, develop your relationship with the Most High, and say, hey, that's why God tells you in his word, acknowledge me with all things, not some things.
I'll hold that
way.
And I'll direct your path. That's right.
If you make a decision for buying a cologne, you got to go to him with that. And see, people think that's a joke, but it's for real. You got to acknowledge it all that way.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I want to share something with your brother. Cause it's some of y'all were going back. I ain't going to cut you. Then I'm going to play a video in a minute, though, what a brother was teaching about prayers. I need to stop playing. Playing church, but what some of y'all I didn't get into something brothers y'all was saying earlier. Like I said, sometimes Brother Jerry said, sometimes you can't even sleep. I promise I know that you'd be up late at night and the Most High give you scriptures and things like you'd be one of it. Man, I'm sleeping. No, you need to get up. You need to look this up because he's putting something on your heart. It'd be a scripture or something. And he put it on your heart. And you got to get up in the late of the night, in the middle of the night, whatever. And you got to go and look it up when he give it to you. You know, and you got to look it up. Cause and it might have been a scripture that you read a month ago, and it come like, oh, and it come, that answer come to you. Sometimes I need you to look this up. And bam, you know, it might have been something going on you saw in the news or whatever. And he give it a conversation you had. You give it, you got to wake up, I mean, all time of night. But it's something else, too. Like, brother, we were saying that sometimes this thing, this walk ain't, it ain't, it's not glamorous as some people try to make it out to be. It ain't that glamorous. It ain't that easy. Sometimes, like, you will get, and sometimes it's hurtful, and you be, man, you feel sad sometimes. And I'm going to say why you feel sad and you feel hurt. Because when you're trying to, you see what's going on. Like, we see with all this stuff that's happening in society right now. And in our communities, the killing and the murdering and a lot of this stuff that's going on. And you're trying to warn the people. It's like it almost takes you back to Abraham. Just, hey, you'll give me 50, give me 40 and all of this. We know all the prophets, how what the prophets said and all the people, how they turned against them and denied them. But so it's like it's a hurting thing sometimes. You're trying to warn the people and they don't want to hear it, and you're trying to give them the truth. They want to probably mock you, or you don't know what you're talking about thing. And sometimes you get by yourself and you think about that. It just make you sometimes sad and make you feel hurt inside sometimes. Man, I don't know about y'all. Sometimes, man, it make me want to cry. Like, Most High, I mean,
I just want to just leave him alone. Most, I don't want to do this no more. I just let him destroy him. That's how you be thinking. Just destroy him. They hard. I ain't got time to mess with these silly folks. Just kill them. Just let whatever the enemy have them. I ain't thinking about these folks. But then you think about those other people. I had those thoughts, but then I think about the people that, like, you know what? They might comment on my YouTube channel, I appreciate what you're doing, or somebody, I thank you, manager, for what you said and encouraged. And you think about those, like your brother Norm, you said that one person, even though you might have just talked to 5 or 10 people that turned that didn't want to hear nothing you said, but you think about that one, and you're like, you know what, I got to keep on. Because that person is listening, and I got to keep on. But sometimes it hurts, though. It's a sad thing, because we see the destruction was coming, and we trying to warn the people. But I think about, like I said, I go back, though, to Abraham. There was stories with Abraham. I think about Noah. When Noah was telling, hey, the flood coming, y'all. It's coming. The storm is coming. They still want to party, keep on playing around. Oh, man, go on with that foolishness. They still want to, like, the pastor down in Atlanta had the New Year's party. They playing all that music, that walk it out stuff. You know, they still partying and become the fluid. Now the fluid came, y'all. Open the door, man. Hey, like what they say, I hate to use this analogy on this one here. You didn't put in on this, man. You didn't help put one plank on this ark. You can't get in here, Dak. You can't get in here. No. Drown.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes, wow. Dr. Frankie, man, you know what? I feel the same way, man. But what I do, man, I'm a very peculiar type guy, man. I think I'm very special. I really do. And because I think God, I know God got something for all of us, but I know I'm peculiar. What I do, I think about Moses, man. Then I think about Noah. They drove Moses to cuss, and they cheated him out of his trip to the promised land. They made him cuss, so he didn't. He's saying it from afar, but he wasn't able to walk through cover his ignorance because of what he did. How the people drove him, and then see, Frankie, we got to think like this here too, man. We help these people so much, and they still do what they do. Look at Lot. The same with Lot, man. All through the Bible, that God picked a specific person, and the people just didn't want to do right. Frankie, somebody put $1 million in my hand, and said, Norman, do right from now on. Take that million and let it stack and double it. You know the first thing I'm going to do? Run to the casino and try to double it for real.
Yes, sir.
Try to double it for real. Instead of putting my thinking cap on and putting it in the bank and let it draw interest, it'll double in no time. You got to be conscious of what you do and how you think.
That's right.
You can't take a horse to the water and then drink it for him.
You sure
can. It's crazy, man. And this been going on since, man, the beginning of time. See, this would drive me. I'm going to show you what drives me. Like I said, I'm a peculiar type guy. This would drive me. The earth is on axis. If this joker turned a degree wrong, either we were bound up or we were free.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Who's in control of this?
Yes, sir.
This is not osmosis. Who's in control of this? I'm gonna tell you. This is how I used to get a lot of people when I took them to class, when I taught, when I preached. When you sleep, you want me to tell you something? When you sleep, you actually dead. When you sleep, you're actually dead. I can come in your house any given time when you're in a sleep. You will know I'm there. But the grace of God touch you and wake you up every morning.
Yeah.
If that ain't proof that there's a God up there, man, I don't know what is.
Yes, sir.
We all are walking miracles. All we got to do is look in the mirror every day and say, amen. Hey, man, there is a God. There is. Mm-hmm. And then this would get me. God, why did you take them out so early? No, I just told you about Ecclesiastes. Why go before your time? And then they try to get technical on me. Why do a baby go? If you think about it, and God would tell you, maybe it's from your parents done. See, people don't believe that. But you got to read it for yourself.
Absolutely.
God takes care of children and fools, because a fool is not in his right mind, so God's going to watch over him as well. And the child cannot make a decision.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And I always live by this. I always live by this. Once a man, twice a child. So when you get up to a certain age, you go back to your childhood. That means you done got so old that you went back and you are out of your mind now. God will take care of that. We need to get back to the basics. We need to go back to where we first believed at, and that's in the church house.
Man, the church was the, as I tell people on here, and we had a show about a couple of months ago, about a month ago on here, talking about the black church and how it was the core foundation of the black community. Nothing, I mean not nothing went on in the black community when the black church was involved. I mean, it was the core, the centerpiece, the heart of our black community. And it was. I mean, all the meetings and everything went on with the black church back in the day. They were. So there's a lot of things have. They talk about evolution evolving and stuff, and it have evolved. And it's not in a good way. It's not in a good way that the things have evolved. And then, brother, I want to play right fast before we get out of here. I guess we got 23 minutes still left in the live show. I'm going to play this one right fast. The brother saying, Pastor, stop playing church. Let me play this one right here. Uh-oh, let me turn. Uh-oh, I got the mic.
We got to stop playing church. We got to stop playing church. Stop playing with people's souls. Folks are dying and going into eternity every day. And some of them believe that they're okay because of the word of a preacher. You better be careful. And God said, that's enough. You cannot profane the sacred. The house of God is sacred. You don't profane the sacred. And I'm telling you now, that's when the hands start writing on the wall. And for some people, the hand is already writing on the wall. People will live or die based on your word. You know what he says through the prophet? He says, if you see the enemy approach and you don't sound the alarm and you don't warn the people, and I know what the people say, well, somebody else just come along and tell them. No, he said, they are going to die. They're going to be caught. They're going to die. And their blood is going to be on your hands. Hear me. Hear me, pastors, preachers. What else do you want? You've gotten big churches. Congratulations. People know our names. We've been blessed. What else do you want? You've gotten the fame. You've gotten the people. You've gotten the numbers. You've gotten the money. What else do you want? What are you going for? At some point, you got to stop and realize that judgment begins at the house of God. And God is going to hold preachers accountable for the stuff we do. People in our churches that are dying and going to hell because we're too scared to tell them
that a holy God demands a holy people. We've gotten comfortable walking with people that promote everything that the Bible says will send a man or a woman to hell. And we're still trying to walk with them, and we're confusing the people that are seeking after God. It's a dangerous place to be when you figure that God is not enough. Oh, we done got as big as we can get in the church. We want world's kind of clout. We want magazine covers. We want bestsellers. We want to be invited to all of the world's shindigs.
It's almost over, brother.
But at what cost?
Let it play, doctor.
I think that was it. Yes, sir. That's it right there, brother. His brother's name is, I said, do you agree with Bishop Herman Murray III? That's who it is, Bishop Herman Murray III. I like that one, man. He said it. And when it was portions of this, it was another video he had, but portions of this video, he started off talking about there was a sister. That's why he talked about the responsibility and talk about your word. Because he started off talking about, and it didn't play on this video, but he was talking about there was a woman, a sister, and she had to have a major surgery. And they told her she had to make a choice. Either she get the surgery, it was a major, major surgery, she can get the surgery or she would have maybe be facing death. And he said she came to him and asked his opinion on what he should do. And he said he thought about that. When that woman came to him with that, about something about her life, her major decision on her life, and he thought about that somebody can really truly die based off of his opinion. And he realized that time the weight of it as being a pastor, as being a flock of God. Because he said somebody can die, literally die, live or die, based off of your word as a pastor. So that's how he came. And the first part, I didn't get that other, I didn't have that other clip, but it was on that right there. That's how he started off with that one. And that's true. Some people basically, they live and die based off of what some things a pastor says. Yes, sir. I like
Absolutely.
That one.
Absolutely. Man. I got to get off now, yes, but I enjoy talking with you, brothers. To the next time.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that, Brother Jerry. Like I said, appreciate your time again, my brother. Like, we got 17 minutes. We ain't going to get out of here. A whole Brother Norman Long either. But appreciate you, brother. Appreciate that.
Yes, appreciate you, Dr. Jerry.
Yes, sir. Look forward to meeting you.
You too, my
yes,
brother.
Sir.
I really am.
All right.
Yes, sir. And God bless you, brother.
Bless
yes, sir.
You, brother.
Appreciate
God bless you.
It. Yes, sir. Yeah, Brother Norman, man, this thing here, man, I tell you, it's some work. And let me say this here to y'all right fast. We got 17 minutes. I'm going to tell y'all something about as well. Let me give you this story. Like I said, me and Brother Norman, we was working together at a trash company place. You know, so we ride in the truck together. We used to have conversations out of the conversation, kicking knowledge and things. Now, this time, y'all, brothers and sisters, y'all know, I always knew the word. It was in the, knew the Bible. You know, I'm jumping in the Bible. I'm over here in Kemet, and I'm all in, I'm in this, I'm in that. And y'all know this is the time I've been on Culture Freedom Radio now. I've been all on Culture Freedom Radio, even with this. But at the time, I was not basically into the word. I mean, I wasn't, teaching the word like this. I was into the Kemet and all these other so-called conspiracy things. And so me and Brother Norman used to be having conversations, but sometimes we it's like we disagreed on things, but I'm going to tell y'all something. This brother always, no matter if we disagreed or agreed, he always encouraged me, though, to keep on doing what I was doing. He always encouraged me, whether I was right, wrong, or indifferent. This brother always encouraged me. He always said it, Dr. Frank. Keep doing what you're doing, brother. Keep doing what you're doing. I mean, Everett, he always encouraged me to keep doing what I was doing. I mean, I'm telling y'all, man, this brother always been a positive brother to me. And then always, that's why I don't mind always calling this brother, asking him, bro, what's your opinion on this? What's your opinion? Because he always encouraged me even before I got back into the Bible. So that's what y'all, we need brothers and sisters in our lives like that. People who are going to encourage you to do the right thing, like Spike Lee said, to do the right thing. Keep on.
That's
keep
right.
On.
Bless that's, you, bro.
Yes, sir.
Bless.
I had to say that,
I'm
y'all.
Say this,
I'm telling y'all. Yes, sir.
I'm going to say this, Dr. Frankie, and I'm going to say this to the audience. Sometimes you don't see in yourself what you really have. Sometimes it takes the person to push it out. Because as well, Dr. Frankie, you did that push with me. We did it to each other. We kept each other going on that truck. We had differences, but we never let that interfere with what our goal was. And we had the same goal. We were just on different pages at the time.
Yes,
and Frankie, you encouraged me to read more. Because believe you may, and it's a true statement, one man's junk is another man's treasure. Me and this brother used to find all kind of literature. And I wonder why people throw this away.
Yeah.
I wonder why people throw this literature away. And it's the literature that we found got us closer and closer to our goal. And brother, I appreciate you dealing every conversation, everything we read, and every video you sent me. I appreciate you dearly because it keeps me on my toes, and it blesses me to bless somebody else.
Yes, sir.
I told you are a positive man. You just didn't want to believe it, but doctor, you are a powerful dude, man.
When you realize it,
now you can share it. And you know what? Brother Norman was right. I do got a little something, don't I? I praise God
man.
For you. I really do, man. You are a true brother, man. And I will be on your show any given time.
I gotta have you back, bro.
Yes, sir. And I enjoyed this. Oh, man, you just don't know.
Gotta have you back. Yeah, because like I said, it's work to be done, brother. It truly is. It's a lot of work to be done. I mean, I just can't emphasize it enough. You know, like I said, it's hurtful for us to see what is happening today to our people. And it seems to be, but we know what the scriptures say about it. We are great falling away. We know that these things are going to happen. But we just got to try to be our best. Like you said, like Ezekiel said, you was talking about this earlier, be watchmen. We are those watchmen and we're sounding the trumpets. And that's one here in, let me go to Isaiah. You know, you hear the Israelites on the corner. They say this all the time. They always preaching this. And people be wondering, and I got to pull this out. You know, I got to go to Isaiah. It's chapter 58. Mm-hmm. Let me get it right fast, brothers and sisters, y'all, because I want to read this one. Y'all hearing, y'all be like, man, why them Israelites be so loud? They be hollering at folks. And I mean, why they got to be so loud? But they take in the advice of brother Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58 and... verse 1 says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Israel their sin. One more time, y'all. He said, lift up thy voice like a trumpet to show my people their transgression. What is transgression? Transgression is sin. Is it? Show the people their transgression. So we got to spare, we got to lift it up. We got to sound the trumpet. That's why y'all even see on those final calls that the Nation of Islam have. Y'all pay attention. Y'all see them trumpets on both sides of the final call. And that's what they're saying. This is those trumpets saying, this is the final call. Wake up, y'all. Wake up. We're sounding the trumpet. We're sounding the alarm. You better wake up.
Wow.
It's too late. You got to wake up. So, yeah, that's why you hear the Israelites brothers on the corner. They're talking loud like that because, number one, and what are they saying? Y'all, some of y'all get caught up in sometimes the rhetoric or how their delivery sometimes, but they are
trying to warn you, you got to get it right. And that's what this is all about. You have to get it right. And I'm going to say this, brothers and sisters, even when y'all talk about the message, we say Yahshua, Jesus, you know, and I know y'all say, well, how you, yeah, I know I said Tanakh, but still I understand the message throughout. I understand the message throughout and the moral of the story throughout. I don't care what part it is. The message was teaching you to get back to righteousness, how to live a righteous moral life. That's it. Whether some of y'all even believe, I know, you know, it's Culture Freedom Radio. Some of y'all might not even believe in the Bible. I know some of our brothers don't believe in the Bible. Y'all don't believe in that. But even when you talk about nature, you believe in nature, you cannot go against even nature. Because nature, y'all said mama nature, whatever, will whoop your backside when you go against nature. And so this is when certain things that when the people are doing things, harming the environment, we're seeing how the environment will turn back and harm you, harm us as a people, because you try to change things, make things unnatural in the environment. You can't do that because just nature is set in a law that we didn't set, y'all. So you can't go changing it. It's like even when people trying to change their natural appearance, now, oh, we're going back to the physical thing, talking about you trying to change something, cut your wee-wee off and trying to get you a vagina, you're going to have all kind of complications because it's not natural. You're going against nature. You ain't got to believe the word now. You ain't got to believe that, but I'll tell you one thing. Nature going to show you that word still exists. You ain't got to call it the word of God. You ain't got to call it, but hey, I bet you one thing. You're going to believe somehow, because when you do that, hey, you're going to have complications. And so, like I said, people say you got free will. Yeah, you got free will, but in that free will, you best to believe there is consequences in those choices you make. So, hey, like Jeremiah said, this day, which one will you choose? But in my house, Jeremiah said, but in this house right here, we choose the Most High. Yeah.
That's right.
That's it. Yes, sir. Yep. But, yeah, we got 8 minutes, brother. Hey, you got anything you want to put out to the family and say go ahead, brother.
Everybody believes something. Everybody believes something. You believe in your car. You believe in this. Everyone believes in something. And, I think we need to do actually, I'm going to tell you something. The Israelites on the corner, man, I was raised on that. Man, back in the streets of Chicago, when Malcolm X and all them cats used to come through there, man, it used to be someone on the corner every Sunday, not every Sunday, every day almost, preaching the word of God on the corner. And I just seen Elijah Muhammad with my own eyes, all of them. I went to Malcolm X Junior College. His car's still up in there. I seen all of that Black Panther, and I done been through. And I know what kept me afloat. I know what kept me alive. The Most High did, and that's who I believe in. That is in totality. I believe in like you said earlier, Dr. Frankie, you can be a Muslim, you can be an Israelite, but we all sharing the same goal. We got to get the word out and save our people, man. We really do.
Save our people. Yes, sir. Even Brother Marcus Garvey said it. Marcus Garvey said it with the UNIA. He says, well, remember it off the top of my head now. One goal, one aim, one destiny. One goal, one aim, one destiny. And that is it, y'all. Yes, sir. We have that. And always, I say, Brandon, we have always been, I don't care what it was, whatever the name we might have called the Most High or this, the creator throughout the African continent. We as a people have always been a spiritual people. We have always been. It's seeming now, though, with all of this so-called knowledge and information that we're getting now here in this especially Western Hemisphere, we are now getting away from that. And I tell y'all, you can do what you like. Like Isley Brothers, y'all, it's your thing. You can do what you want to do. But I tell you, you better look out into the society, look out in nature. As a brother told me a long time ago,
He says, the way you know something, knows that something is the truth, look out in nature. So basically, he was talking about look out in the world. So everybody talk about forget God and all this old stuff and look, forget all that stuff. I tell y'all what, look at the past when our people were into the word. They were spiritual people into the word. Look how society were then. And look how now people have gotten away from spirituality, gotten away from the word of God. And now look how you look how our society and our world is now. And you tell me, is it better or is it worse? Is y'all do the knowledge on that?
Much worse.
Much worse. The hearts of the people is cold towards one another. Bible speaks about that. People have becoming lovers of selves. The Bible speaks about that. And it's amazing, Brother Norman. This stuff was written thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago. Wow. Ain't it amazing?
Yes, sir. And he's constantly warning us. Constantly warning us. We don't take heed to it. And you know what? This is just my opinion. He said, I'm not, and he says this in the Bible, in his word, no man would know it, not even my son. Because if Jesus knew, Jesus would try to save us again. Jesus would come down, hey, y'all better look out, my dad. I'm paraphrasing. My dad said he's going to do it again. Y'all better. That's why God don't want to tell him, because he give you free will. God is a gentleman. He don't force nothing on you. He knocks on your door and say, hey, I'm knocking. Will you let me in? Free will.
Yes, sir. Free will. Yes, sir. Let me see. I got to get something here. Hey, that's what it is, y'all. I'm going to get ready to get us out of here in a minute. I'm trying to get a song to lead us out, brothers and sisters. So we thank y'all for tuning in right here to Culture Freedom Radio tonight. We hope we said something tonight, y'all, just make you think, you know, just make you think, put it like I said. Y'all know I like to say it. We put a stain on y'all brain to give you something to think about on this night. And we just hope we can encourage y'all, man, to, first of all, we say study. Show enough study, y'all. Study, 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 study. Can't say that enough. But we have to look out in society and just see where this thing is going. Somebody, there's an enemy out there. I ain't going to say what and who it is. It ain't even got a color thing. It's a spiritual thing. And they want us destroyed. Well, y'all believe it or not, they want us destroyed. Look how they're what they're doing to our children. They're putting things in Satanism in school and putting it all over the television, seeing, you know, how they're destroying the minds of your young sisters, your daughters. And I mean, I'm telling y'all, we have a real spiritual war on our hands. Now, we're going to come out victorious. Oh, yeah, it look ugly right now. We down, we're in the fourth quarter with 30 seconds on the clock, and we down by 15 points. But we're going to come back and win this game, y'all. Y'all say, how in the heck you going to do that? Keep watching. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to play this quick song right fast. Give us a little bit, and we're going to get out of here, y'all. We're going to get out of here a little bit. Let me play this one right here. Let me see here. Uh-oh. Come on, baby. Spinning right fast. There we go.
I'm going to hide behind the mountain. I'm going to something else I came to realize, I know that Jesus is the mountain. Ooh, I know that Jesus is the mountain. The mountain.
I'm going west.
Chilly wind don't blow.
I'm going west.
Chilly wind don't blow.
Every Ooh, day will be long. Sunday.
Chilly wind don't blow.
Sabbath will have no wind.
Chilly wind.
Yes, sir, y'all. You're going with the chilly winds don't blow. I like that one right there, y'all. That's Keith Wonderboy Johnson, y'all. Hey, and the spiritual voices. Storm, y'all. We're going through the storm. But we're going to make it out, y'all. It's a bit rough right now. But believe me, we're going to make it through. All right, Brother Norman, Brother Pastor Norman, and Brother Jerry been in the house with us right here on Culture Freedom Radio tonight. We really do thank these brothers, man. Anyway, hey, this ain't it, y'all. This ain't it. This ain't it. This ain't it. We're going to have our brothers on again with us right here. And, you know, we have more to talk about, more to present. And we just want to show y'all this unity, the unification tonight. This is, and I thank the Most High, actually. It wasn't me, but I thank the Most High for giving me that to bring the brothers on so we can show y'all. Throughout all of this other stuff we're seeing, the debating over the doctrine, the who's the right and who's the wrong over the doctrine and so on. So, hey, see, y'all going to bring this out through all of this. He's going to show us who's the right and the wrong because he's trying to show us, what our true battle is. And that is to get rid of the wickedness, the evil on this planet. That's what the wrong is. This doctrinal thing, we can work that out. We can work that out because we really find out that it's all the same, but we just got to figure it out because certain things the enemy have crept in and gave us some things that's not right. That's why we said we got to study. That's why we got to study and let the Most High lead you in the spirit and let his spirit, we call it in the Hebrew, the Ruach Kadosh, where they say, maybe the Holy Spirit leads you and guides you, the comforter. But I'm going to let my brother Norman lead us out on here. Brother, if you want to just lead us out with a prayer, if you want to do that, hey, then you can close us out however you want to close it out. We get some words of encouragement, whatever. Yes, sir. I'll let you lead us on out of here and we get on out this house.
All right. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much, Father. Lord, we thank you for gathering three minds together, Father, on tonight. Let everyone know, Father, that there is unity, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you dearly, Lord. We thank you for the invite, Father. We thank you for giving Brother Sun Ray that vision, Father, to have this done. And, Lord, we just pray over our world, Lord. We just pray over everyone, Lord. Touch us, Lord. Continue to bless us. Continue to have mercy on us, Father. Father God, instill that knowledge in us, Lord, and keep your will in our hearts and minds, Father. Bless our souls, Father. Bless all. Bless all. Bless all, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank God. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what we're talking about, y'all. All right. So, like I said, again, we thank y'all for taking the time out to listen to this broadcast. We have many more things coming, y'all. We have many more things coming right here for Culture Freedom Radio. And like I said, we thank the Most High for allowing this podcast to go on tonight. We greatly do appreciate the Most High, y'all. And we're on Shabbat Eve right now. So, yeah, we greatly do appreciate the Most High for all things, y'all. I'm telling y'all, for all things. Even when they talk about this snow and ice storm about to come, we thank the Most High because it's all in his will. And we thank him. Like I said, Brother Norman, we appreciate you one more time, my brother. I mean, hey, this has been magnificent tonight, brother. I really do appreciate you. I can't say that enough. I really do appreciate you. And thank you for being there for me, brother. Always being that encouragement. And just being there for encouragement for me, brother. I appreciate you.
Bless you, doctor. And yes. Going to continue staying there. Bless
yes, sir.
You, really yeah. Bless you.
Yes, sir, and much love to you, brother. And now I'll be speaking with you momentarily. All right, appreciate it, brother, y'all. We're going to get on out of here, y'all. Have a great night, brothers and sisters. Stay safe, stay warm out there, and may the Most High walk with you and keep you. Hallelujah. Peace.